Look with me to the book of Psalms. How great thou art. That can only be sung about our God. Amen. Psalm number 37 is where we're at this morning. Several weeks ago, Brother Don introduced a song to the choir that we sang just a few moments ago. The Lord. We find that verse in Psalm 37. And as we were practicing that several weeks ago, I asked Brother Don, I said, hey, if we sang that on Father's Day, I could preach a message from that same passage, Psalm 37. As far as I know and can remember, I do not think I've ever preached from this passage before. Several passages preached from several times, but this is one that I can't recall preaching from. And so I thought, well, that would just be appropriate for Father's Day. As we find again in Scripture in Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The 24th verse says, though we fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Let me read those two verses one more time. As the Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father, we come to you this morning, and I ask that you would help each and every man in this room, each and every woman, each and every boy and girl that are listening to the words of this sermon. Father, that we might be good. As we tell our children often, be good now. You be good. God, may we take that to our own selves, that we might be good. But Father, more importantly, that we would have a clear and distinct understanding of what being good truly is. Help us in this today. For it is in the name of our Lord and Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray and that we ask all of these things. In his name, amen and amen. If you go back to verse number 1, David is writing this psalm, and he begins it by saying, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Notice verse number 3 as he says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy as the light, and thy judgments as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who oppresseth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have cast down the poor and needy. to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall not enter into their own hearts, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous show mercy and giveth. For as he be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Here's the summary of everything that we just read. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. We're talking about this good man. Several times throughout this particular passage, we find the Lord using David to pin these words and saying at least two times something about doing good. We find in verse number 3, he says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." In verse number 4, he says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." But he says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That word good is very interesting to me as we consider, and as we say often, again, to our children, we will say, "All right, be good," don't we? We drop them off at school and we'll say, "Be good now." And you know, sometimes it doesn't really matter how old they are, we still tell them, "Be good." You know, it's interesting, though, that as we tell our children that, I don't know that Rachel's ever done this as I've left the house in the morning or in the evening. She's never said to me one time, "Okay, Aaron, be good." Brother Don, she probably ought to do that sometimes. That would be an encouragement to me to have a reminder to be good. Now, we talk about that and we say that and we tell our children, "Be good." But do we teach them what it is to be good? Do we show them an example of what it is to be good? Do we even understand what it means to be good? Now, often what we mean is to behave. Don't act foolishly. Do what you're supposed to do. And we must consider that. Now, of course, I went to the dictionary and I wanted to find out a little bit more about this word good. What is it to be good? And I was fascinated by it, honestly. It says this. It says to be complete or sufficiently perfect in its kind, having the physical qualities best adapted to its design and use. Then it goes on to say this, having moral qualities best adapted to its design and use, and having the qualities which God's law requires. Which God's law requires. You see, it is not up to us to determine what is good or what is bad. Because if we were to sit down and say, "All right, there's roughly 75, 80 people here today, and we're going to formulate a set of rules and regulations, and we are going to determine what is good and what is not good." And if we had 80 people here today, we would probably come up with at least 85 different opinions, wouldn't we? Maybe even 90 or 100. Some of you would change your mind before you ever got finished with your sentence on what is good and what is bad. We do this in every aspect of our lives. We contrast and compare many things. There's been the cola battles for years, hasn't there? When I was a kid, they used to have the blind taste test. Which is better, Coke or Pepsi? How many say Coke? All right, put your hands down. How many say Pepsi? There's like five of you. Wow. Okay, so I would say Coke wins. Coke is good. Pepsi bad, right? I don't know how RC Cola never got put in there, Brother Don. Didn't put the moon pies in. You got to have moon pie to go with the RC Cola. But we would say that's good. If we were to say Alabama football is good, right? Auburn football is good, right? LSU football, good, right? Indiana Hoosier football. Do they play? Exactly. We would all have different opinions on what is good and what is bad. And that's why it is not up to us to determine, it is up to the Lord to determine. Can you imagine if we left it up to our children to decide what good is? Why are you laughing, Emily? Let me just do a quick poll here. Before some parents. Brother Greg, what's a good bedtime for children? 10 years old. 8:30, 9 o'clock. All right. Kevin, good bedtime for a 10-year-old. You agree with that? Does anyone disagree? Elise, please tell me. You're 10, right? What's a good time for a 10-year-old's bedtime? 10 o'clock. What's a good time for a 10-year-old to wake up in the morning, Brother Greg? 7 o'clock. BJ, what's a good time for a 10-year-old to wake up? Talking about you. What time should a... He told me yesterday. I saw him yesterday. He saw him at 10:30 in the morning. He's like, Pastor, it's early. It's early. He said, I haven't gotten up before 2 all summer. Went to sleep. He's stayed up late. Slept in past noon. Stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning and sleep till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. If we left it up to children to determine what's good, can you imagine? Could you imagine if we left it up to children, hey, you decide whether you want to go to school or not. How many of you are going to school if it's up to you? You'll go to school? Zach's going to school. Maggie's going to school. Jason's going. But the rest of them? I mean, if we left it up to them to decide what's good, they would make a mess of their lives, wouldn't they? Guess what? If we left it up to us to determine what is good and what is bad, we would make a mess of our lives. And can I tell you, that's why we've really made a mess of our lives, most of us. Because we've tried to determine, oh, this is good. So what is a good man? What is a good man? If being good is having the moral qualities that are best adapted to its design, may we not forget that we have been created for something. As husbands and as fathers and as wives and as mothers, as children, we have all been created for something. Remember when God made Adam? And he saw him there? And he said, it's good. But then he said later on, he said, it is not good that man should be alone. And he put him to sleep and he took one of his ribs and he formed woman, woke Adam up and said, this is yours. Huh? And it was good. When God saw it, it was good. Why? Because God designed it and God knew exactly what the best use was and how it was to be designed. And it is according to the qualities of God's law. I want you to notice in verse 23, as the Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I'm going to give you 2-3 points this morning, and they are very long. And so if you're in the habit of taking notes or you want to write these down, I will say it a few different times because this is the longest outline I've ever put together, Brother Don. It's long. Sermon's not going to be very long, but the outline is long. Number one, a good man is not good because he is good. A good man is not good because he is good, but is good because he follows the orders of the Lord. Now get this. We'll say it again. A good man is not good because he is good, but is good because he follows the orders of the Lord. I mean, is that not what the verse says? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. You see, a good man is not good just because he's good. Now, we'll say this all the time. We may ask somebody about somebody. If we meet a mutual acquaintance from time to time, we'll run into people and we'll say, I'll give you an example here. I had my Crossroads Baptist Church t-shirt on a couple of weeks ago and ran into somebody that knows the Taylors. And she said, oh, I have some friends that go to that church. Now, I get that a lot, and sometimes people will give me names, and I'm like, I don't know them, because they don't go here. That's why. And so I was expecting her to say, you know, someone else, and she said, Sabrina Taylor, and Bob, and Zach, and Maggie, and I said, oh, I know them. And I said, they're good people, except Bob. And she agreed. So she really knows you. We know you. But we talked, but we'll say that. We'll say, oh, he's a good guy. Or, man, she's a good gal. And we say that, but, yeah, people say gal. They do, I promise. But we'll say that, but do we truly understand what it is to be good? You see, because we're not good because we're just good. Someone can only truly be good because they follow the Lord in their steps. Now, I want you to notice the word there. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Ordered. That is, sometimes a military term, as they are following orders. And in the military, you're going to follow orders. Or what happens, Brother Don? You're not going to like it. Now, the interesting part in this is the Lord doesn't necessarily, come down and say, Caleb, help me. You're sitting here, you're up front, you're on the right. Come help me, please. All right. So I'm going to order Caleb's steps. This is not what the Lord does. Caleb has no option here. Try to go a different direction, Caleb. Going up the steps? No, you're not. Go a different direction, Caleb. Nope. Wouldn't life just be so easy if this is how God directed our steps? And occasionally just did this. You don't even get a walk this time. Come up here.
I'm carrying now. Now you're going up the steps. Go a little faster. Okay, they're ordered by the Lord. He has no option here, except here's the deal.
That's why I didn't pick you. Don't go. Now see the order? I said, don't go, he came right back. Stay. He follows the orders. Go to the back doors. Don't distract him. He's following orders. Thank you. Turn around and just stare at me. Now you can go up those stairs. He's following orders. All the way to the top. go in that room, stare out the window. Come back down. Now, Caleb, I want you to decide what you do next. He's making a decision. Is it the right decision? How many of you would have made the same decision? Caleb, I wanted you to come back. You see, that was the right decision. You see, left to our own decision to choose what is good or what is bad, what the proper thing for Caleb to do in this illustration, when I said come back down and do what you would like to do, the proper decision would have been for you to say, what would you like me to do? Ah. Why? Because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now I would like you to go sit down. The illustration's over. Thank you. Give me a hand, would you? You see, the steps of a good man are ordered. When I said go to the back door, he went to the back door. When I said go up the steps, he went up the steps. Did you notice one thing that he did not do throughout the entire time? He never said, huh? He never said, are you serious? Hey, can I tell you, when the Word of God tells us to do something, God is always serious. He is always serious. He always means what he says. He always goes through there. Now, we may come to a thing, and I know I've heard this. I've heard this probably my entire life. My entire life. Don't question God. Now, I do find in Scripture that is not there. I've searched for it. I've looked for it. I've never found the Scripture that says, never question God. Can't find it. I do find several examples in the Word of God where people have questioned God. And you know what I found? Every time they've questioned God, struck down with lightning. How many remember that story in the Bible? It's not there. I'm so glad nobody raised their hand. Thank you. I hope you're picking up on the sarcasm here, because it's not in the Scripture. It's not there. What I find every time someone questions God in Scripture, he answers. He answers. Now, it may not be the answer that they want. It may not be the answer that they like. But every question that is asked of God, he answers. But then I also see other areas when God gives a direct command. And people in Scripture, they just do it. They do it. I used this illustration a few weeks ago as the children of Israel were walking around the walls of Jericho. The Bible doesn't tell us anywhere where somebody in Israel said, what are we doing this for? God, are you sure about this? Why are we doing this? Now, they may have thought that, and they may have questioned that in their own hearts and in their own minds, but Scripture doesn't record this in there. When God told Daniel and gave him his orders, Daniel didn't question in what he was to do. I do know Jonah, he questioned, didn't he? What do I got to do this for? I'm not going to stinking Nineveh. Jason, leave her alone. I'm not going to stinking Nineveh. Those people are savages. They don't deserve anything. They don't deserve what I would do there. And he got on a boat and headed somewhere else. And God prepared a great fish, a whale, Jesus called it. As they threw Jonah overboard, that whale came and swallowed him up whole. In Jonah's own words, he said, from the belly of hell cried I, saying, Lord, save me. I'll do whatever you want. There are times when we decide on our own to say, hey, I'm going to make my own decision. I'm going to go my own way. Guess what? It's not good. I'm going to just go the way I want to go. It's not good. Why? Because a good man is not good because he is good. He's good because he follows the orders of the Lord. That is what makes someone a good person or a good man or a good woman. Number two, check this out. A good man is not good because he is good, but is good because he finds delight in following the Lord. I'm talking about delight. I'm not talking about, there are times, and I used this illustration this morning in Sunday school, as we have children, we will sometimes give our children an instruction and tell them to do something. And it may not be something that they want to do. And they begin to question. And they begin to... Your children ever stand like this? Okay. I'm not imitating Maggie, I promise. Or am I? No. She's never done that to me, so I don't know. But she's looking at me like, maybe. Emily, you ever do this? No, that's good. But, we'll stand there. Fine. I'm doing it. Go to church. Fine. I'm here. Bless me if you can. Is this sermon almost over, Brother Don? It's not. No, we do this. Look, I'm in church. Isn't that enough for you? You expect me to stand and sing? Isn't this what you see sometimes, Brother Don? I'm here. Isn't that good? I'm following orders. My wife said, come. My husband said I had to go. My parents said I had to go to church today. I'm here. I may be here physically, but I'm somewhere else in my mind. That's good. No. See, a good man's not good because he's good. He's good because he delights in following the Lord. I mean, look, following the Lord's a good time. I say this all the time, and I say it because I want you to know it, and I want you to have the same experience. I have regrets in life. Many of them. Many regrets in life. And it's amazing to me, honestly, it's amazing to me how we can go back at any moment, Brother Don, at any moment, a memory can pop in our minds from 30 years ago that haunts us, decisions that we made. And we think, oh, man, we regret it. We regret them. We think, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I go there? Why did I think that? Why did I act upon that? And it haunts us. And I have many of those. But I say that to say that one of the things that I have never regretted one time is serving the Lord. I look back over the 38 years of my life, being saved 30 years now. Not one time have I ever regretted going to church. Not one time have I ever regretted standing up and singing a song. There may be some things that I've done or said inside of church that I regret, but that was on me and not on him. Let's not forget that. But we ought to delight in following the Lord, in following him, because that doesn't lead to a life of regret. And I haven't met anyone yet, honestly. I have not met anyone, and I've seen a lot of people on their deathbed. I've held a lot of hands in hospital rooms. And never one time has anybody ever looked up at me and said, I wished I hadn't given my life to the Lord. There's so much that I could have done, except I had to serve the Lord. Never one. But I've talked with many that have said, I wished I'd done more. I wished I'd given more. And you want to know one of the reasons why we don't give more is because we don't delight in following the Lord. But a good man is not good because he's good. A good man is good because he follows the Lord, and he follows him with delight. It's a joy to serve the Lord. It ought to be. It ought to be. Number three, a good man is not good because he is good. A good man is good because when he falls, he allows the Lord to pick him up. Notice in verse 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You say, hold on a second. Hold on. I thought he was good. If he's so good, why did he fall? Isn't that what we say? Because he's good. A good man's not supposed to fall because he's good. Listen to me. A good man is not good because he's good. Are you with me? A good man is good because he follows the Lord, and he follows him with delight. And when we're not following the Lord, we're going to fall. Plain and simple. We will fall. But here is what we do so much, is we just stay there. Remember in Proverbs, it said a just man falleth seven times. And how many times does the just man get up? Seven. Not three, not two, not five, but he gets up seven times. Why? Because he asked the Lord. When a good man falls, he recognizes that he's fallen. When a good man falls, he recognizes that he needs help to get back up. And he recognizes that God is the only one that can help him. The only one. See, a good man's not good because he's good. He is good because he follows the orders of the Lord. Because he delights in following the Lord. And because when he falls, he allows the Lord to pick him up. In verse 25, David said, I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Notice verse 27, he says, depart from evil and do good and dwell forever. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Depart from evil. What he's saying is, get up and do good. Follow the Lord. Can I tell you the best thing, the very best thing a father can do for his children, for his wife, is follow the Lord. It's follow the Lord. Because when we follow the Lord, while our children will grow and they'll make their own decisions, we will find that in many cases, they too will follow the Lord. The very best thing we can do for our families is follow God. Not begrudgingly, not out of because we have to, because we want to. Because it's a joy to serve the Lord. They need to see it. They need to know it. Follow God. Give Him your life. It's what He designed you to do. And when you do that, you are doing good. Be good. As you leave today, may I say that? Be good. Do right. Behave yourself. And when you're following the orders of the Lord, you will. Every head bowed, every eye closed.